on the AM and FM 107 Radio Network, broadcasting from AM and FM stations around the country. Welcome to the Small Business Administration award-winning School for Startups Radio, where we talk all things small business and entrepreneurship. Now, here is your host, the guy that believes anyone can be a successful entrepreneur, because entrepreneurship is not about creativity, risk, or passion, Jim Beach.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another exciting edition of School for Startups Radio. I hope you're having a great day out there, working hard, taking over the world, making some money, all of those fun things. I got a great show for you today. Two fantastic people that just really inspire, educate. They have done so well themselves, and they're such great role models for the rest of us. I am excited for you to learn from Borja Juan. He is going to talk about performance marketing. He bootstrapped his company. It's an amazing success and doing very well. I just love what he has done. And then Catherine Roy is with us. She has been with us before and is one of the smartest people that I've ever met. Literally, she is in Mensa and all of that kind of stuff. And we always have fun conversations and learn a lot from her with what she is doing right now. I'm excited to share her story with you. We talk about limiting beliefs and LinkedIn and all sorts of great stuff. So there's a real lot of information in this interview. So good stuff. All right. Please go buy the book. I have to ask every day. That is what my job is. Remember, we give you all this information, all of this education for free. So please, in return, go buy The Real Environmentalist. And or if you've already bought it, not write a nice review. That's what we get. That's what we thrive on here now. So purchases and reviews. The book is arguing that we environmentalists, I mean we entrepreneurs, will save the world, that the environment is being cleaned up really quickly by amazing entrepreneurs. Please go buy the book. 5-star rated.
Talk and no action on climate change? Introducing The Real Environmentalists, the bold new book by Jim Beach. It's not about activists, politicians, or professors. It's about the entrepreneurs, real risk takers, building cleaner, smarter solutions, not for applause, but for profit. The entrepreneurs in the book aren't giving speeches. They're in labs, factories, and offices, cleaning the past and building clean products for the future. The Real Environmentalists is available now because the people saving the planet aren't the ones you think. Go to Amazon and search for Real Environmentalist. Thank you.
We are back and have another amazing guest to welcome. Please welcome Borja Juan to the show. Very interesting career. He has been working for other people as a director of performance marketing with companies named Exponential, and then Bold. He went out about 9 years ago and was the co-founder of a new marketing firm, an performance marketing. The company is called 415 Digital, and 4 is F-O-U-R, and 15 is the number 15, Digital. Borja, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
I am well. So what is performance marketing?
Performance marketing is we work with clients who pay us to manage their media across different digital marketing platforms. So in our case, it would be Google, Meta, TikTok, LinkedIn, and a few others. And ultimately, those clients are holding us accountable to meeting certain goals that they have. So in most cases, depending on the business, it's either sales, revenue, profit, leads. So ultimately, we have to perform for them. Otherwise, they fire us. So all the work that we do has to lead to driving more revenue. And so that is what is performance marketing.
Okay. Makes a lot of sense. Big clients for that, right?
Yeah, we have a mixture of clients, small, medium, and large.
Okay. What is small to you?
Yeah, small would be a small local business. So, for example, we have a few local businesses in our portfolio. That would be a gym that has three or four locations, a commercial cleaning business that is, you know, geographically based in California, junk removal, geographically based, kitchen and design business, kind of very specific to a small geography, versus a large company that we have, which is a global business with, you know, 10,000 employees, publicly traded, multi-billion dollars a year in revenue. So that would be kind of the other end of the spectrum.
And how many different accounts does that company have?
Well, that company would have one account with us, but we would be...
how many social media names, tags, you know, all social media things they got?
Well, generally, most businesses have one social media account. And then within that account, depending on the products that they have or the types of businesses that they have. I mean, some companies have numerous business units within that company, but it's generally one brand, one social media account for a business. So you don't typically have multiple social media accounts.
We don't have Fanta and Sprite as an addition to just straight up Coke or Coca-Cola or something.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, but there's a brand above that. I don't know who that is that owns all the kind of the different soda companies. And so they would have sort of the main brand. And below that, they would have individual SKUs or products, each with a different brand. So it depends on the business. Some businesses have multiple products and they have different, they may have one social media account promoting the different products, or they may decide to have within that account different sub accounts, if you will. It just depends on how things are set up and how they do the marketing. But there are some companies that actually they'll be marketing all the different brands under one account.
All right. Very cool. And do you come up with the content as well, or do they give you that?
Yeah, it depends on the client. In some cases, we're producing the content for them. In other cases, they have an in-house team that produces the content, and they simply ask us to collaborate with them on what might be the appropriate content needed for the campaigns that we're running. So it just depends on each engagement and what the resources are for that particular client. And that ultimately will dictate what our level of involvement is. It sort of we do it all, or we're sort of just ideating, collaborating with them.
Did they ever send you stuff that you look at it and go, they want to do what?
Yeah, that does happen. Yeah, I mean, ultimately people hire us to guide them and direct them. And one of the things that I've always said as a business owner and sort of directed my team is we are being hired as experts, and we are expected to give our very honest and direct feedback to clients, which means we're not saying what they want to hear, but instead saying what we believe is best for their business. And so it may, they may not agree with us. So that's when we'll have sort of a conversation about it, and they may overrule us, but it's really our responsibility to be very direct based on sort of experience and math, on what we believe is best. And so with respect to ads or content, we have absolutely, been given, something less than desirable, and we've voiced our opinion and what we instead think would be better.
All right. Excellent. How many employees are y'all up to now?
We have 21 employees full-time.
Very impressive. And where is home office? Is it in San Francisco?
Yeah, so I work out of our Walnut Creek, California office, which is about 45 minutes east of San Francisco. We have a second office in LA, where my business partner is based. And then we have a third office in Guadalajara, Mexico. So we have three offices between the 21 employees that we have, all of which are sort of hybrid, meaning they're in the office 3 days a week and working from home 2 days a week.
And, okay, well, you're doing a great job, first of all. Everything that looks amazing. And you answered like 12 questions in there too, just preemptively, you know, like I was going to ask, do you work at home or, you know, and you went ahead and knocked that out as well. So,
and by the way, just with respect to that, to add more flavor context, the reason we're hybrid is I believe very strongly in, building a company, where people are actually together, and not solely working from home. And so my belief and my strong belief is you can't sort of accelerate learning at the pace when you're in an office versus not in an office. So that was very intentional. And so we, you know, hire people that are sort of in some cases early in their careers. And we've found that they're learning a lot by being together. And also we're building culture and it's very rewarding for them professionally, and also gives us the opportunity to spend time together, whether we have lunch or grab a coffee in the afternoon. But essentially, we feel that that's a competitive differentiator as an agency. And that's not to say, by the way, that other agencies have not been successful with a fully distributed workforce. But we believe that there's a lot of benefit gained by having the team together, learning together, asking questions, and coming into an office. And so that's why we're sort of hybrid.
Your model works. So why Guadalajara, where I have been actually, I took the train from Mexico City to Guadalajara one time. That was an experience. I was like 8, I think.
Okay.
And my parents have been known to leave me in the, like we went to New Orleans one time and my parents, left me in the middle of the French Quarter alone at night because they forgot.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, who knows why I got off the train. Anyway, why Guadalajara as opposed to, you know, somewhere in India, Philippines?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, that's a good
Mexico. Time zones
good question.
Are good, right? Your time zones line up pretty well.
Yeah. And by the way, obviously you turned out just fine. So whatever your parents did, they should be applauded for it.
Borja, I have ankle monitors on both ankles though.
Yeah, but we can't see that. So we can't confirm if that's true or not. So yeah.
Why would I lie about something about that? Why do you think Walnut Creek is famous in America? Why do you think America knows Walnut Creek most famously? What's its most famous claim to fame?
Well, I didn't answer your Guadalajara question. Do you want me to answer that?
Enough. You're not letting me talk enough. I mean, wait. Switch that. Go back. All right. We have like 5 questions. I'm going to go on mute for an hour. Come back later. Keep going.
Well, you know what? You asked a good question about Guadalajara and you made a very good point, which one of the appeals was the time zone overlap. So I've worked and managed teams in different parts of the world, Eastern Europe, Philippines, India. And I've always felt that when there's overlap, we've made a lot more progress faster. And so I was seeking out a market abroad that overlapped with Pacific Standard Time. So it checked that box. And additionally, I wanted to have access to a talent pool of people that were interested in becoming experts in digital marketing, and happened to be that Guadalajara was one of those markets. And so the combination of time zone and talent pool, and I would obviously be remiss without mentioning the cost of labor there, all those three things combined were sort of what we were looking for. And so that's why we decided to open that office.
All right. Very good. And how many people of the 21 are down there?
4.
How often do you get to go to Mexico to hang out at the beach? I mean, visit the office to make sure they're doing okay?
Well, Guadalajara, as you know, having visited, even though you were only 8, is not located very close to the beach. So I can't get distracted
but,
when
know,
I go
the
there.
Flights work and everything, Borja. Yeah,
I know.
You know, the
I
flights
know,
are
I
never
know.
Correct.
I love the beach. So my wife and I are very tropical people. So I've vacationed quite a bit in Mexico at the beach destination. So the answer is I don't visit enough. I've only visited one time, but I'm overdue for a trip. And we have an office very central location-wise. It's in a very great part of Guadalajara. And the team has an office in a high-rise building. They're probably, I think, on the 30th floor overlooking the city of Guadalajara. So it's a great area. Lots of restaurants and retail stores, and very safe. So great place to visit.
Yes. Just careful for some of the violence and stuff that goes on. Let's move on. Excellent job of building the company. Very well done. Let's go back in time and tell the same story again, but this time lens of entrepreneur. So where'd you get the money? I see that you were with two companies and did the same type of thing. How did you transition into your new business? You know, did you have to go get a bunch of money to raise capital? Did you bootstrap it? Who was your first customer? All of the entrepreneurial history.
Yeah, fortunately, we are bootstrapped. So we never, we don't have any debt on the company, never borrowed any money, and have built up a nice sort of war chest, if you will, to use for whatever we decide is helping the business, whether that's acquiring another company or launching another product. But essentially, we decided... Supporting a podcast is potentially on that list. Yeah,
that was nice of you to offer that. Thank you.
Yeah. Yep. I think the line broke up. So I think we're having a bad connection, but I think I can hear you now.
You were just confirming that you were sponsoring the show.
Yes. Which show is this? What's the name of the show?
It's called NBC Nightly News.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about that. So yeah, we didn't need to raise money, and then frankly, we built our business on network and referral. So that's what I would, by the way, be one of my advices or pieces of advice for any entrepreneur who's starting a business and how they go about landing their first customer is pick up the phone and ask directly. Your first customer usually comes from relationships, referrals, or sheer hustle versus ads, right? So that's how we landed our first customer, is really just tapping into our network. And then we've built a business around that. That's not to say that we don't want to be doing other things to build pipeline in a more predictable way, like outbound marketing. But yeah, it's all been inbound, which has been great.
Very well done. Very, very impressive. We never dealt with Walnut Creek.
Yes.
Why do you think America knows the name Walnut Creek?
I don't know that they do, to be honest with you. I discovered it when I moved to the Bay Area, but it is,
people know Walnut Creek.
They do.
Yes.
Is that right?
One of the main characters in the TV show MASH was from Walnut Creek, and he talked about it almost every episode. It's one of those things that could be a good drinking game. They teased him about it. It was the core of many of the jokes, you know. So anyway, and we all knew Walnut Creek, California.
Okay. Well, that's very cool.
Have you ever watched MASH?
You know what? I didn't watch it, but I know what you're referring to.
Yes.
So I am not as young as you might think. So yeah, it was, I just don't know, enough about it to know that there was references of Walnut Creek.
How old are you? You are 37.
Is that a question or are you telling me I'm 37?
Because you can't tell. You are 37.
Perfect. I was going to say, how did you know that? If you were looking at me, you might say I was 28. So I'll take 37.
I'm looking at your picture on LinkedIn and your FBI file.
You know, I've had two background checks in the last 4 months. I think three of them. And all of them, as I went in to talk to the sheriff's department, he said, "This is going to be quick because your file is boring. So what you said is absolutely not true."
Okay. I'm glad you have that confidence. It'll make it easier for us to continue our surveillance. So
exactly. Yeah.
In college, I went to a school that was excellent at languages, and there were all these rumors around campus that, you know, the CIA recruited there. And I think the placement office even encouraged those rumors and stuff. And I think they might've been true to some degree. Anyway, there was a opportunity on the board. I called and, you know, sent my resume. They sent back a letter saying, we'd love to interview you. And so I did the interview. And at the end they said, we'd love to interview or, you know, take you to the next level. And I said, sure, I'd like that. And they said, all right, here are the people we're going to interview. And they gave me like a list of 50 people that I knew. And I was like, no, I don't think so. It was just so weird that I said, no, thank you.
Yeah. You don't want to be interviewed by people you know, right?
Well, no, you know, the CIA or whoever was going to do background checks on me with those people.
You know? Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was just too weird. I couldn't really handle it. So
really? Okay. Yeah. All right. That's a lot of people.
It was for the CIA or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was fluent in several other languages, and including obscure ones and stuff. So anyway, Borja, back to you. So what are your lessons as an entrepreneur? If you were going to write your book, you haven't written a book yet, have you?
No, I have not.
When you do, what is it going to be about? Or are you going to hire me to do it for you? What are the lessons you start thinking of? When I say, Borja, what are your lessons as an entrepreneur? What comes to mind?
I mean, a lot of things come to mind, right? So I don't know. I think the first one I would say is stay close to your customers. Really have a pulse on the business by way of talking to your customers, getting feedback from them, whether it's openly or anonymously. It's not important. It's just getting the feedback and then sort of actioning the feedback, the feedback that's worthy. Not all feedback is necessarily worthy, but the ones that are, or the pieces of feedback that are, definitely act on it. Focus on the employees, right? Build a good team, because the team is going to be the most important part in having a successful business, and make sure that your organization is healthy. And what I mean by that is that, you know, the team that you built, you're investing in them. You are being very clear with them on what the mission is and what how their role contributes to accomplishing or achieving that mission. So making sure that everybody's on the same page with kind of why we are here and why we do what we do and how their role impacts us being able to accomplish that goal. And then investing in them, not just professionally, but personally, and making sure that they sort of have what they need to be successful. And that is going to require you to really sit down with them and not just focus on all the tasks that they have to do, but really understanding what they want to get from this experience. And then sort of mapping out a plan and explaining to them what that plan consists of and what they need to do to get there, and then check in along the way. So for me, I think a lot about the customer side. Customers are important, but also the employee side. It's really important. Make sure to sort of be fiscally responsible as a business. That's one of the things that we were. You know, when a lot of companies were going out of business during COVID, we sort of withstood the storm, despite it being a bit turbulent. We actually had, you know, the ability, because we put ourselves in a very good financial position, to sort of kind of get through it. So really, you know, focus on the profit. You know, you have to really build a business, and ultimately you have to consider the finances of that business. Obviously, we want to do well with our clients and provide great customer service and things like that. But you have to really be aware of kind of generating profit for the business. And sometimes people, all they want to do is just get the deal in. And sometimes that deal doesn't make financial sense. And then the next deal doesn't make financial sense. And all of these things ultimately don't allow them to, survive when the going gets tough. Have patience and understand that it's not going to be very easy. It's going to be bumpy. It won't be linear. You know, you're going to have issues. You're going to have clients leave you. You're going to have employees leave you. You might have clients not pay you. So there's always going to be things that could potentially distract you. So having the right mindset and understanding that it's normal, it's par for the course in business. You're sort of in a position of being able to problem solve and not allow these problems to distract you and allow you to focus on what's most important. So that, you know, that's really important, is having the right mindset and getting through those challenging times. And then also learning as you evolve and as you get bigger to kind of get out of the weeds and really do a good job of delegating. Delegation is really important in being able to free up your time as a business owner to focus on the things that move the needle most and not be so involved in the day-to-day decisions that are important for the business but don't necessarily need you. Instead, build a really good team around you that allows you to do the things that are more important to kind of get the business to the next level. So those are some of the things that come to mind.
Just one or two things that come to mind. Borja, that was an excellent start to your book right there. Well done. Well done. Are you 37? In fact,
we never, I am not 37. That. No, we didn't. We what didn't. I am not. I am not 37. No, I was born in 1976. So I'll let you do the math.
46 or something.
Okay. Didn't do a great job in that class. Is that what I'm hearing?
In birthday class? No, I didn't. How else do we, or how do we get in touch with you? Find out more, learn about you, hire you, all that.
Yeah. So, you can visit the website. That's 415-4-15-digital.com. There you can learn more about the services we offer, review some client success stories, learn more about our culture, positions that are open, we're hiring. If you're interested, if you're a business that is interested in digital marketing or has a digital marketing program now, we're happy to kind of come in and do an audit free of charge, take a look at what you're doing and provide our sort of expert opinion on the good, the bad, the ugly. So you just need to fill out a form on our website and we'll be in touch with you.
Borja, great information, great job. Congratulations. You've done it very, very well. And we'd love to have you back. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Well, that's a wonderful question, actually, Jim.
Oh my gosh, I love the opportunity to do this. Thank you, Jim.
Wow, that's a great one. You know, that is a phenomenal question.
That's a great question, and I don't have a great answer.
That's a great question.
Oh, that is such a loaded question, and that's actually a really good question.
School for Startups Radio.
We are back, and my next guest said that she trusts me implicitly, and I have to tell her that's just a bad idea. Please welcome Catherine Roy back to the show. She has had an amazing career. She did about 15 years working in the IT space and then decided to become an entrepreneur, went out on her own. She is now a very successful business coach. She helps coaches. She is the coach's coach. She also works with consultants, small business owners, entrepreneurs, and she has won a bunch of awards and recognitions for doing this. She's been on the Forbes Coaching Council, the UN Women Expo, and others. She has won the 30 Under 30, Top 20 Global Thought Leaders, Top 150 Women Leaders. The list goes on and on. Best-selling book, Live From Your Heart and Mind. And she has LHM system that we will be learning about. Catherine, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for such a warm welcome. I'm very well, thank you. And you?
I am good, thank you. So you are back home in Serbia today?
Yes, I am all the way in Serbia today, yeah.
All right. How does it work running your business from Europe? Is it?
Yes, it's Europe.
Does it make any difference at all? I think it would have to.
It's crazy, if I may say so, at least because of the time differences and all of it. Now it's 7 p.m. here. But I love it. You know, when you do something you love, then simply these things don't matter, or you find a way to do that, right?
That's usually true, yes. So tell us about your business. What are you doing now?
Well, I'm so much in love. There are so many like beautiful things going on and so many projects. I actually now work with clients from 30 countries, believe it or not. Like online space is such a wonderful place where you can grow like completely unexpectedly, as it happened to me. And as you probably can hear in my voice, I'm so excited about that. Even going now into SaaS to create some AI tools for business owners and things like that. So everything is about business growth, is about personal growth, systems. And yeah, your introduction was very, very beautiful. And you mostly said everything, right?
Well, you know, I don't know if you know, but we offer a service where I will follow you around and introduce you like that every time we go into a new room. And
that's one.
For men, I always add world-renowned lover, but I don't know that a woman would want that. We'll just go with you, proud member of Mensa. How about that? We'll throw that in at the end.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
All right. So what kind of services do you help your clients with? So give us a couple of clients. Don't tell us the name, of course, but what are their problems and what are the solutions you're helping them find?
Well, usually those are very high-level executives who want to transform and build their own businesses. So I worked with former CEOs of Forbes, Rolls-Royce, Pepsi, and so on and so forth. And coaches, consultants who already have their businesses and they want to grow online. Actually, everything started during the COVID period. And because I was a programmer, I'm very good at systems. And I built my own framework. So there are three main fire topics. That's visibility, of course, business models, which can generate passive multiple revenue streams, and high tech. So we cover all of these things into like one beautiful synergy of business and helping them actually have a passive revenue streams while they are creating something new or doing something beautiful in the world. My mission is to help people do what they love, empowered in their own freedom. So I'm kind of, you know, against the systems in terms of classical corporational systems, but very pro building our own destiny and creating our own lives.
Excellent. That is what people want. And what kind of system do you have with each client? You meet once a week, once a month? How does it interact with an individual client?
Well, I have actually created different packages, and usually it's like 8 sessions once a week or once in 2 weeks, depending on where the business is. First, we do the business analysis, set up a new model, and then I create a whole new system. When I say system, I think about the whole back end and the whole front end of one business, like not just a website, but the whole system with funnels and workflows, triggers, all of that. It's very simple to me because I was a programmer, and to all of these beautiful experts who want to gain more visibility, create more impact, and generate more revenue, that's like complicated, right? And this is why this new idea came to my mind, that we will probably try to build an AI model who will be like, instead of me, helping more people and build these systems for them. So we can like simplify the process, and based on the description of the business, we can actually create a whole system which can be plugged in and work independently, no matter if a business owner is available or not. That's the whole idea. Because during the COVID period, I had COVID twice, actually, and practically my business stopped because I'm a service provider, right? So all this time I was thinking and creating something which actually can work without me. That's the whole idea. But we'll see how it will go. This is a whole new step now.
So I referred to the LHM. What is that?
Well, LEGM is short from Live From Your Heart and Mind, my bestseller, which actually like placed me into the spotlight. Like, imagine a little programmer who is in a box and writing code, and then she writes a book, and then book gets a lot of media attraction, and then she all, you know, get the spotlight all over the place. So LEGM is a system for emotional intellectual growth. It helps in personal growth so that we can actually be on the highest level of our human potential to be able to build businesses which can move the whole humanity forward. It's not just about having business, it's actually about the purpose behind the business. And I'm a light worker, so I bring light everywhere I go. This is why LEGM was actually created.
Okay. Can you walk us through the book and the system? And does it have steps, or how does it work? Yeah. Walk us through a deeper level, Catherine, please.
With pleasure. That's my biggest love of all. Now I'm actually preparing it, the second edition also. Well, it has two parts, emotional part and intellectual part. As you said, I'm a Mensa member, so I did a lot of research in like mind development. So I created an IQ training, which can help us to activate 2% of brain, which we actually don't use and have a potential to use. There's a billions and billions of cells, which can put us in front of everyone else and have a high potential. And this is actually how I achieved all of these things you mentioned at the beginning. And the emotional part has 10 algorithms and 10 formulas. Because I was a programmer, it was easier for me to create like a path, like an algorithm, than actually write a book, right? So we have 10 different, like our life chapters. For example, love. And then I am a reader to the algorithm of love and guiding them to actually find soul self-love instead of ego self-love, so they can be fulfilled. Because I believe when a person is fulfilled and complete, they don't have a need for conflict. As you mentioned, Serbia, I was born here and I survived war during the 90s here. I was in a basement 78 days during the bombing. So I promise that I will help or be the light in the world, which will help people to heal. And now we're facing a lot of similar situations in the world, right? And I believe that only people who are led by ego and who are actually not complete are leading these wars. So it can be a utopic idea, but it's an idea of helping people awaken and be satisfied in their own lives so they don't create conflicts in the world. So it's a kind of a balance between emotional side where we are stable and intellectual side when we operate on a full capacity. And then we're unstoppable in building businesses or whatever we can do. So in short, that's it.
You mentioned love as one of the topics in the book, and self-love without being egotistical. So let's deep dive there. How do I, you know, if I hate myself and I'm down on myself and down on the world, like all of these incel men, how do we get love? How do we do that? I hate myself right now. I've got rejected from 42 jobs. Why would I love myself? The girl won't go out with me. I live in my parents' basement. How can I love that person?
Well, actually, everything that is happening to us, it's happening to us because of the old womb, which is not healed. So we will have to go back and actually research the trajectory of the main pain which you have in your soul, which is not healed. And because of that, and that is something which probably happened in your childhood, this is something which created a limiting belief. And the limiting belief is actually lowering down your energy. And when you operate in the low frequencies, even Nikola Tesla spoke about this like 100 years ago, then we attract situations like this. Okay, so what we need to do is to go deep I actually used hypnosis for this to transform my own path, to go back and to find out which actually situations between 4 to 7 years old created this pain. And when we become aware of that, then we can reprogram the limiting beliefs we created around that. And this is the moment when our energy goes up, because love and above, this is like energy of love and joy. But if you are low, where is anger and hatred and envy or any of these very low level frequencies, it is impossible to achieve success, to have peace with yourself and to have peace with another human being. You know, am I being clear?
Yeah, so that's so, very clear, yes.
So it's not about circumstances around us. Circumstances around us are actually responding to the energy container we hold in us. So we need to expand the container and we need to increase the level of your life energy. So there are two different things. One is a soul self-love and one is ego self-love. If you feel this way, then you allowed the ego self-love to grow, or that's not love. You actually don't feel complete. And the good news is I felt the same. Maybe even much worse, believe me. And even thinking about taking my own life some 15, 20 years ago, and I completely switched and transformed this. So yes, there is a way. The way is through hypnosis, discovering limiting beliefs and reprogramming that to something which will attract job opportunities, which will attract the one we actually desire. Because this was a karmic relationship, otherwise it wouldn't act like that. And there is a lesson. When we learn that lesson, the cycle will not repeat. But if we don't, cycles will repeat in every aspect of our lives.
All right. Fascinating. I would go on with this all day, but we have to switch topics. Also, okay. A LinkedIn expert, 32,000 followers on LinkedIn. What are people doing wrong on LinkedIn? And right, what are the good and bad of LinkedIn?
LinkedIn is something which I recommend to everyone. So I had the pleasure to be with LinkedIn editorial team 6 weeks. They actually trained me for LinkedIn, because Microsoft bought LinkedIn back in 2017 when it was just a CV. Now we have to understand LinkedIn is not a CV. LinkedIn is not a social network. And it's not a web shop. It's all in one. The most powerful thing about LinkedIn is that it has the most powerful B2B or B2C, never mind, even when we look for a job, search engine. Google doesn't have such a powerful search engine because Google doesn't have so many information about every one of us. There are 80 million companies on LinkedIn. So if we just learn how to use LinkedIn strategically to set up our landing profile page, like a landing page, use keywords. You can use mine as a template. Use keywords so that the search engine finds us, and learn how to get to the people who can change our lives. And those are decision makers. There are 4 out of 5 people on LinkedIn are decision makers. There are unlimited opportunities. And now when you said you got rejected for so many job opportunities or interviews, I will repeat, there is 80 million companies on LinkedIn. And I use, I will disclose one of my secrets, okay? So I use like an A-list method. A-list method is depending on a goal. Let's say you want to get a job, right? So you will list 10 companies where you would like to work, and then you will search companies' pages and see who is actually working there and start connecting with people. And then you will identify the decision makers in these companies, and you will find a way to connect with them through your previous connections you already established with people who work there. So people who work there are actually B connections, and people who are decision makers are A connections. This is how you get close to people who really decide, and you are not going to interview and they see you for the first time. You actually already had a conversation with the person.
So do you reach out to people that you've never met on LinkedIn? They say you're not allowed to, but I think a lot of people do. Tons of people that I've never met reach out to me. What are your thoughts on that?
That happens very often. I actually built an inbound system, like a personal brand, which is actually using keywords to set me into 1% in the social selling index, because I'm a business provider, service provider. And when you get into 1% of social selling index, you can research a little bit about that. Then LinkedIn will put you in front of these eyes. Okay, so you will not send requests unless you're looking for a job, but they will see you and they will connect with you. So you turn the switch. It's not like I'm reaching out and knocking on all of these doors. No, I'm a business leader. I'm a thought leader. I'm like a personal brand. My job is to show up, and my job is to choose the connection requests I get. Except if I'm doing something specific and I'm building the A list and connect with exactly the people I want to connect with. But I don't do outreach or anything like that.
Do you reach out to people on LinkedIn, or do you try to get their email address and reach out to them there?
I reach out to them on LinkedIn if I want to have some kind of partnership or a business connection, but I don't offer my services that way.
Okay. Wow, you and I have 754 mutual connections. It's like we're same person, Catherine.
You see?
Good grief. That's a lot of mutual people that we know.
Great minds think the same, you see?
Yes, I guess. So the three steps, visibility, the business model, and then scale and systems with technology. How do I increase my visibility then?
First, LinkedIn. So that's the first among the first things, because it gives you one. Yes. Like I didn't post for a while now because I didn't like reach for new clients or something like that. But usually I'm posting every single day. So content is very, very important. Second, personal brand, but build on authenticity. So when I'm, for example, launching something or having a webinar, I will go live on LinkedIn and connect with people so they will really see me. When I do interviews, I usually stream on all my social media so that, you know, people can connect with us and establish that one-on-one human-to-human connection. Third thing is networking, and that's also LinkedIn's job, because I landed my trainer spots in Microsoft, in Indeed, in United Nations, all through LinkedIn. So everything that you see on my LinkedIn actually happened through LinkedIn. And the fifth option is actually media, mainstream media, press releases, and any kind of podcasts, radio shows, or TV. I actually was a guest once all the way from here through Zoom on USA television. So everything is possible.
Yes. One of the controversial things about LinkedIn is the about section. There's two dramatically different models. Some people use it to basically list their resume. It's basically just a resume copy. Then there's a lot of other people that talk about services there and things like that. How do you like to use the about section, and what do you think are best practices for that?
What shows up to be the best practice is be very mindful about keywords. Because I'm a service provider, the about section is not about me. It's about my clients. So I'm, for example, saying if you are a coach, consultant, or a small business owner, and you are looking for ways to do this, 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 and this, so I'm presenting my value proposition, then give me a call, and then I have my bio. So first client and then myself. But if someone is an expert and they're looking for a job, then yes, it's a place where you can present yourself and not offer services, but present yourself mindfully, again, using keywords. What is very important is that the keywords match your headline, your about section, and other sections. So if you check my profile very like carefully, you will see that I'm repeating the same things over and over again. So I'm actually teaching the algorithm what are the keywords that I want to be found for. This one thing. The second thing is through the content, if you use only three hashtags, and one of your hashtags is your personal brand hashtag, like name and surname, then LinkedIn will add that to the URL of your profile. And if your profile is public, which should be, then Google will actually ping that. And this is how I built. In one moment, I had more than 50 million search results on Google on my name.
I got lost there, Catherine. Where do you put, how does it add it into your URL? I missed that part. Can you say that again?
When you create content,
right?
And at the end of the content, you should use three hashtags, not more. Exactly three, because that's the space which can be added. Three hashtags can be added to the URL of that post. So it will be like linkedin.com/, I don't know, content, la, la, la. And then it will be like Catherine B. Roy, business coach, and whatever I added to that hashtag, right? My profile is public. So the URL is public. So that's actually a backlink. Right? So all other search engines will read Catherine B. Roy in the URL of LinkedIn. And when you have engagement, then every single like, every single comment, every single whatever the engagement is on your post will ping search engines. And this is how you get high level visibility on Google through LinkedIn, actually.
Very good trick. I love that.
Yeah, it works.
Yes, that's really interesting. So what are you focusing on now? Is your goal just to continue building your coaching business, or what else are you working on?
Well, at the moment, my book, Live From Your Heart and Mind, is getting ready to be published here in Europe in Serbian language, which is my native language, and that's a huge step for me. I want to up-level my LHM Academia, which I created for courses and business growth, and the most important thing is this SaaS development and implementation, which I mentioned at the beginning. So a lot of cool things. And I'm juggling a lot, as you can see.
Well, that's why you got COVID.
Well, yeah, probably.
Yeah, I think that's the trick there. Oh my, I just saw the time. We've already run out of time, Catherine. We're just getting started. I need you to be our coach.
Except on LinkedIn, of course. I'm everywhere present as Catherine B. Roy, website CatherineBRoy.com and LHMacademia.com. So the best place to find me is actually LinkedIn, because I'm personal on LinkedIn and my assistants are taking care of other places.
I love it. Where do you outsource to? Do you get people from Serbia?
I have people from all over the world. Depends, you know, different technologies and different interests are in Europe and in USA.
Yes.
You know, it's pretty much different. Now I want to implement some technologies here, which I actually got introduced in USA, but Europe is pretty much like cultural difference and technology wise difference. So it's very interesting to research these things. So I actually outsource mostly USA, Canada, Australia, but lately also European Union. Yeah.
Catherine, thank you so much for being with us, and we'd love to have you back and talk more soon.
Thank you so much for this lovely opportunity. I enjoy talking to you.
Likewise. We're out of time for today, but back tomorrow. Be safe. Take care. Go make $1 million. Bye now.